verse, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, and make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. All these epistles are so wonderful. The more we read them, and the more we study them, the stronger we can be in the sight of God. And so it is with all the Psalms. The more we read the Psalms and study them, the better we become acquainted with God, our kind Heavenly Father. We have heard many, many wonderful expressions today of the truth. I'm sure that our hearts are filled. With joy. In this wonderful setting, I find seven essential points I'd like to mention, so that in our study and going over this epistle, we may have a better and a clearer understanding of what St. Peter had in mind. God's abounding grace. Jesus said in John 1:16, and of his fullness, divine perfection, and of his fullness have all we received. Every consecrated child of God. And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace, favor, and truth came by Jesus Christ. And all this unmerited grace, abounding grace from our kind Heavenly Father. I'd like to call to mind the first thought that comes to our mind in the reading and studying of this setting. The grace of God, or the God of all grace. Our kind Heavenly Father, who is the God of all comfort and consolation, in all his wisdom and prudence, hath revealed himself to us. And this is all unmerited. And it means abounding grace. Yes, friends, favor upon favor and grace upon grace. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:2 that we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ Jesus. Now, grace be unto who? Unto you. And peace be multiplied. Grace be unto who? Those that understand. Those that know God. elect according to the foreknowledge of God, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Do we get it? Do we see it? Yes. Now, this applies to us. Grace. Abounding grace. Be unto you and peace. Be multiplied. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. The peace of God that passeth all human understanding. Humankind, the nations of the earth know nothing about this. Oh no, they're clamoring for peace but never find it. But grace and peace be unto you that may be multiplied. Because he hath called us, that's the second cardinal point. God hath called us. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom ye were called. Called? What for? Unto the fellowship of his Son Christ Jesus the Lord. Think of that, brethren. Grace upon grace, this abounding grace. Called unto the fellowship of his dear Son. Constantly fellowship with our Savior. Walk with him and talk with him. And take sweet counsel together with the Lord. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Not an earthly calling, oh no. A heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:1-5. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Prisoner of the Lord, yes. We're all prisoners to Christ Jesus. We're all bond slaves to the mystery of the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 6 chapter. Prisoners of Christ, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Oh, yes, we were called. My, what a wonderful arrangement God has made for us. And with all lowliness of mind and meekness, humility and teachableness. And with patience, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Wonderful. Grace upon grace. And endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in this bond of peace. Therefore, he quickly said, there is one body, not many bodies, hundreds of bodies. As we see them today, just one body, the body of Christ. And one Spirit, what Spirit? That same Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus at the River Jordan. By one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, the body of Christ, even as ye were called. Oh yes, there's many callings in the earth, but they're not this calling, friends. Listen to this calling. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. How much better that is to all have the same hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Let us emphasize that. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Look out, these sweet frames. They'll get you. They'll trap you. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Why? We've learned the lesson and learned it well, that all other ground is sinking sand. Right? I know you'd say that's right.
Dear brethren,
this honor hath no man except he's called of God, as Aaron was called, that great high priest back there. Think of this honor, to be called of God, as Aaron was called. Yes, friends, this old familiar scripture, let us emphasize it this afternoon. 1 Peter 2:9, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. What a marvelous light our dear brother Wilson pictured before us this morning. Ah, that's the marvelous light that we walk in. Isn't it wonderful light? Would you like to lose it? Ah, brethren, be careful for these sweet frames. Call in one hope, how many hopes? One hope of our calling. Then he said quickly, Peter, to fit in here nicely, after ye have suffered a while. Oh, brother, don't tell us anything about suffering. It's all we see in the earth today, with all the corruption and iniquity and double dealing. Look at it, friends. Corruption is almost full. And when it's full, Jesus says the fire will come from heaven. All right. But it isn't quite full up yet, is it? It's waxing worse and worse every moment. But we suffer for righteousness. Oh, how different that is from the common suffering of the human family. We have that too. I've had some of it. But the suffering for righteousness is so different. And now the Lord said to us, if you suffer with me, that's suffering for righteousness, isn't it? If you suffer with him, ye shall also be glorified together. Suffer on the same altar with him. A little all upon that altar. It only may be a penny's worth, but it's there. It's counted in with his sacrifice. That's God's way. If we suffer with him. Hebrews 5:8. Christ, our head, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Surely then, friend, we would learn obedience also by the things which we suffer. Obey and live. Disobey and die. All mankind will know that at the end of the millennium, won't they? Obey and live. Disobey and die. And St. Paul tells us again in the 8th chapter of Romans, I'm sure you can all quote that, if children of God, then heirs of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be we suffer with him. Same altar. That we may also be glorified together. That we may also reign with him, St. Paul said. How wonderful these things are. Study them. Make them your own, brethren. 2 Corinthians 5:6-7. Our hope of you is steadfast, Paul said, that as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation We're partakers of that suffering of Christ. That means to be part of it, doesn't it? Part of it. That's right. Part of the sufferings of Christ. And then he goes on to say quickly, to make you perfect. Perfect, yes. 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd verses, reread them, brethren. And he prayed to our kind Father, to your Father, to his God and our God, I in them, and thou in me. That's almost incomprehensible, isn't it? But still we see it. We understand it. That they, Jesus said, speaking of you down here at the end of the age, and me, that they may be made perfect in one. You see how essential it is to suffer with him? That we may be made perfect in one. Now, something that's staggering, Jesus said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That glory which God gave to Jesus, in turn, he's given that to us, the entire body of Christ. No wonder Jesus said in the 16th chapter of John, the 27th verse, the Father himself loveth you. Yes, he loves us, friends, or we wouldn't be here today. Ah, how kind our Father is. How wonderful. All these things come to us, friends, that we may be established. That's the fifth cardinal point, to be established. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, 17. Our Father who hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. Who has he given this unto? The elect. Grace upon grace and favor upon favor. Abounding grace. Everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. There it is. Comfort your hearts and establish you. It is the Father's desire that we should be established. Established in what? And he said, in every good word and in every good work. They both go hand in hand. Our text. For today, for this convention, is it beautiful? Every good work as well as every good word. They're inseparable. Oh, I've heard sermons upon this, but they leave out the work. Every good word and leave out the work. We can't afford to do that, friends. We're established in every good word and every good work. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. Oh yes, he's always faithful. We've learned it so. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We all desire to be established, don't we? And keep you from evil. That's right. What an evil day. Evil on every side. Everywhere. Our dear brother told us about that. Think of the condition in this old terra firma. Armageddon features are on everywhere, every corner of the earth. As our pastor said in 1915 at Pittsburgh, and I heard him, Armageddon features, and then finally will come the finale, Armageddon, the real Armageddon. It hasn't come yet. Don't be deceived. It's still to come. That's right. James said something. 5:8. Brethren, be ye also patient and establish your hearts. Of course it takes patience to become established. This same James said in 1:8, James 1:8, shall I read it? Perhaps some of you say, why didn't you leave it out? But James put it there. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not established, unstable, because of double-mindedness. Have you ever worked in an office or in a shop with double-minded men and women? One day they believe this and the other day they believe that. We have many preachers like that too. Preach everlasting damnation and don't believe a word of it. Double-mindedness. Let us preach what we believe, and let us believe what we preach. That's pleasing to the Lord. Otherwise, we may become double-minded. And if we do, we'll be double-minded in all our ways, James said. Then see how beautifully this all follows. That the Lord will strengthen us. That's the sixth cardinal point. Strengthen you. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Psalms 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Are we in the day of trouble? Yes, friends. We're in it all right, all right. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Zion stands on hills surrounded. Zion kept by power divine. All her foes shall be confounded, though the Lord or the world in arms combine. Happy Zion. Happy Zion, what a favored lot is thine. Think of these words that we sing, how wonderful they are. And our help comes from Zion. Yes, the heavenly kingdom. Oh, there's so many on this. Take an hour on each one of these points, couldn't we? Then we'll be settled. What does that mean? A crystallized character. Settled. Established. Listen. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, what faith? Some new faith? Some new ideas? Be careful, friends. Be careful. We have the truth. Let us hold fast the truth. Didn't you one time believe in that faithful and wise servant? First he was faithful, and that made him wise. Say, yes, well, let us believe it today. I do. Yes, I do. Friends, and I'm going to preach it too. Faithful and wise servant. If ye continue in the faith, that's it, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, and settle you. Oh, how wonderful. And then be not moved from this gospel. Calls it a gospel. Wonderful, isn't it, brethren? I'd like to go over this again, but we haven't the time. But you'll read it slowly. And all the wonderful statements our dear pastor made will strengthen us. One more scripture and then I'll close. Psalm 71:1. You know what it says? You'll be surprised. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. We'll all say that together, I'm sure. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now, finish. Let me never be put to confusion. Are there any here that are confused? Well, why? You have the truth. You need not to be confused. And our prayer is, let me never be put to confusion. I'm not confused. I believe today the very thing I believed when I gave my first chalk talk. And that was 1912. Still stands the same today. Oh, thank you. Kind Father, we draw nigh unto Thee because Thou hast said, if we would draw nigh unto Thee, Thou wouldst draw nigh unto us. And here we are. We drew nigh unto Thee, Father, here at this place, at this convention, because we wanted to understand more and more of Thy great plan. Yes, Father, to hear more about Thee and Thy great love and Thy mercy and Thy abounding grace, that we may become better acquainted with Thee, our Father, which art in heaven. Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, we thank Thee, Father, for this privilege of being here, this privilege we have associating with the dear friends, this privilege, Father, of drawing nigh unto Thee and to our blessed Redeemer and Savior. We thank Thee for His precious sacrifice, not only on our behalf, but also on behalf of the whole world. And Father, bless the remaining exercises of this day. Bless those that will serve, Father, and all that are being served. Be with us now, guide us, keep us ever near and dear to Thee, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.